I've asked the guys just to finish up a little earlier because I'll just let them know that because I really wanted to minister tonight on how the prophetic gifts is involved in unlocking faith for the miraculous. Can I say it again? How the prophetic gifts is involved in unlocking faith for the miraculous. How many of you would like to receive a direct prophetic word tonight? Please raise your hands. Okay, how many of those people would like to give a direct prophetic word tonight? How many of those, raise your hands, that's right, okay. How many of you actually aren't going to raise your hands no matter what I say? Raise your hands. Okay, I see there's a few here. Got you. I understand now exactly where we're coming from. Well, as I said, tonight's going to be a little different in the sense of I would like it to be more like a workshop. In the sense of I just get to share a little bit about how my journey has been. With God, I've had the privilege of reading some prophetic books, of coming under some guys that are recognized prophets. And the office of a prophet, I've always understood it in that it's not some kind of certificate on a wall. It's really a recognition from other people that are flowing in the prophetic to say this person has more than just a gifting to be able to flow prophetically. They're recognized by other prophets as being in a prophet. And I've had the privilege of being able to come under some of them and just having them speak into my life. And I don't have all the answers, but what I do have is some things of my journey. And I want to share that with you, and I hope that it stirs you up, and I hope that it'll just kind of just transform the way that you understand the prophetic and the way that it interacts with our lives and how it can really be used to transform other people's lives miraculously. All right, here we go. Thanks, James. Are the ushers ready to take up the offering? I know that you were getting your Bibles ready, and that's all good. Let's take up our offering. Wait, before we go. Take up your offering in your hands. You know what? I think we kind of lose a bit of expectation of what God can do with the little that we bring. Hey, how about the money being multiplied in your hands? It just happened in my wallet. I kid you not. I've got a whole bunch of receipts. And when I open up, I was like, my wallet's having babies. Not other wallets, but I'm just... And I'm sitting here going, Lord, I've determined in my heart to give to you already, but why can't this happen for everyone, you know? And it's really coming out of a place of saying, Lord, I want to give because I want to see your word being proclaimed throughout. And I want to see this, what we have going here, perpetuated. But I want to see the miraculous transform through what we do in the mundane little things like this. So take what you got. And I'm going to trust God that whatever you've taken out of will be multiplied, as well as what you're putting in will be multiplied, as well as what you're going to get will be multiplied. Just because God is God and He loves us so much. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, that we have in our hearts determined to give tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would multiply each person what they're saying tonight and return, Lord God. And Lord, where people are saying out of a place of lack, Lord, that You would this week, even tomorrow, Lord, open up the financial doors of businesses that are struggling would now get orders. Lord, people that have been crying out for finances, Lord, would just come under an abundance and know that, Lord, that this is all because of Your grace, Lord. Nothing that we could have deserved ourselves, but because, Lord, You love us so much. So, Lord, we take up this offering and we give You thanks for it, Lord. Just as we do for every good thing that You've given us. We give You thanks for our food. We give You thanks for our family. We give You thanks for the shelter. We give You thanks for this building. We give You thanks for friends. We give You thanks, Lord, because You have blessed us in abundance. So out of a place of thankfulness, Lord, this evening we sow in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You very much. All right. Firstly, we need to understand that before we get into any prophetic move tonight, that we need to understand the nature of God. God is a Father, and if I was in my home, and my son, the lights went out, and my son was calling to me and said, Dad, where are you? I would be a shocking father. While he's feeling his way around, listening to the sound of my voice, I would be a shocking father if I let a mugger come in and just give him a cheap shot to the head, and then run off again and steal something from him, right? I would be a terrible dad. You know, Jesus comes out if you smile, eh? Oh, there He is. I just checked Him right now. He just made a wave of God across this whole place. Lovely. I'd be a terrible dad if that was me. Now, our God is infinitely more good than I could ever hope to be. So when we're kind of sitting down and saying we're going into some, for some people, uncharted territory, I've never been this way before. Lord, I feel like I'm in the dark. I'm really calling out to you. I'm really wanting to meet with you. Right? We're kind of understanding that this is the character of our Father. He's not going to let any funnies take place with us while we're just wanting to engage with him, right? He is our Father and he is Almighty. And while his kids are calling out to him, he's engaging with us. All right. So there's going to be no ho-ho funny kind of things going on here this evening. God is ministering to us and through us this evening. Secondly, Jesus did what he did when he experienced his Father. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. Right? And so whatever happens tonight, if you're being ministered to or through, know that this is going to come out of a place where, you know, we can know of someone. I can know of Nelson Mandela, right? I've heard of him. I can know Nelson Mandela in the sense that we've had an engagement, but we're not really that close. But I can experience him when we're engaging one another. And the more I experience him, the greater my knowledge becomes of who he is and what he wants to do and how he wants to work and all of that kind of stuff. And it's really in the same light as our Christian walk. We can know of God. I've given my life and I know of you. I've heard of your great fame. I can know you in the sense of the times that you've just engaged with me just a little bit. But it's the continual experiencing of the Father with us that transforms us and changes us. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus didn't come to the masses and there was a dire need of feeding them and go, oh, I wish I knew what to do. He was already prepared. He already knew. I've seen this in my quiet time when I was hanging out with God earlier. I saw the masses and I saw the fish and I saw the bread and I know exactly what now I need to do. Because he had been engaging with his dad the whole time, he knew exactly what to do. This morning there's a prophetic word about fear and despair, and you can come out of a place of, well, I must have faith for what God's going to do. And you can come out of a place of, I must believe, I must believe, I must believe. Or I must renew my mind, I must renew my mind, I must renew my mind. But one experience with him can sort all of that out. Because when you get touched by God, you get to recognize, he loves me. He doesn't only just love me, he actually likes me. Some of you guys are battling with that. Hey? I know you can love me because you've got these special glasses that just distorts what I actually look like on the inside. Because you're God, you can make that kind of stuff happen. But no, he actually intimately likes and loves each and every one of us. And so when you get touched by him, just one touch, you start to realize, hey, he is for me. He's not against me. And if he is for me, then who can be against me? And faith rises and hope rises. And everything else happens by accident once you've been touched by God. It's not out of a place of striving. All right. Now that I've set the groundwork for this, the word prophecy is prophetia. You didn't see that coming, eh? The original word, prophetia. Okay, right. It means revelation or a revealing of God's plans, which was hidden or unknown. And before I get into prophetia, the word prophecy, I've heard someone kind of give an acronym for it in RIAT. R-I-A-T. R for revelation, I for interpretation, A for application, and T for timing. Okay? So with those four in mind, I want to be going through a couple of practical steps to help you kind of get a bit more of a base to be able to say, Lord, how do I get to hear from you more? How do I get to interpret what you got more? How do I get to apply it more? And how do I get to the timing of when and how this all happens? So the first two, revelation and interpretation, happen to you. God's, the Holy Spirit is revealing it to you. You haven't yet worked it out yet. The revelation has come from God. The interpretation is kind of as you're interacting with the revelation. And then the last two, the application and timing of when you bring the prophetic word, are happening it's really happening from you onwards. The first one, revelation. And I want to kind of say this very nicely. But prophecy reveals which covenant the prophet himself is under. The person that's prophesying is under. And so I've been to some places where a guy, not a guy, but people, have ministered the prophetic super powerfully. I mean, accurate, unbelievably accurate every single time. But they were under a very legalistic covenant. And so what you've got to do is you've got to be able to say, Lord, I discern that this is a different kind of spirit that's coming across of you should, you shouldn't do, God's out to get you, and. And just ask them, don't reject prophecy. The Bible says don't reject prophecy, which means go to the person and say, can you please just say it again for me? But what did God give you in the picture exactly? Because sometimes you can get someone can give you a prophetic word, and it's coming out of their own understanding of how to do this thing. So, right, just give me exactly what God gave you, and then you take that and you say, right, now I've got this word, Lord, now you speak to me. Just ask for exactly what the person has had, and interpret it yourself. Can I say this? That you're going to see people again in heaven. People that are coming from a very legalistic background, they're going to be you're going to be celebrating Jesus together. Because if the qualification for getting into heaven is believing in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, then people that say, no, that's not right, this is right, you've got it wrong, we've got it, you know, we've got it right, and they start drawing lines within the church body, we're all going to celebrate together in heaven. Hey? So what does that mean? It says that the message of God's grace is for this life. This life, not in that life, because when you get to heaven, everything's going to be revealed and we're going to be, oh, wow, you really are this good. You really are this loving. You really are this kind and gracious, and we'll be celebrating forever. That when Hebrews 10:12 says, for one single sacrifice, once and for all, our sins were forgiven. That we're forgiven once and for all. It doesn't make a difference when you get into heaven whether we're forgiven once and for all, because we'll know that we're already here. Hello? When we say we're forgiven once and for all, it's for this life that we're in right now. When it says we're holy, you're going to be in heaven saying, oh, I am holy. That's right. And you were holy here too. But you didn't accept that. You didn't believe that. It's not like God's looking through x-ray glasses at us, kind of saying, yeah, I know deep, deep inside of you there's a new creation, and I choose to look at that because the rest of you is puffy. He doesn't look at us like that. He says, whatever he declares is holy. That's right. And so he's kind of saying, you are holy. So when he says, be holy as I am holy, he's not kind of like, shine up. Try better. You suck. God's not like that. It's an empowering command. He says, be holy. You are now holy. As I am holy. Hey? I say this, and you might be saying, what's this got to do with prophecy? Because I need to lay an understanding of how we believe that the spirit that which we come across carries these same emphases through. Hebrews 10:10 says, we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So if you've got any questions about, oh, I don't know if I really am or aren't holy, it says right there, Hebrews 10:10. We've been made holy once and for all. Next, we've been free to be with God. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to him, that we have been set free from our previous bondage, from our previous self. We've been made alive in Jesus Christ, and we can enjoy freedom to engage with God. Can I stop right now? I feel like God's wanting to use some people tonight to share prophetically. So if you get some images coming across your mind, don't discard them. Just make a mental note or write them down. God's going to use them just now, and you're going to sit down and see how that actually plans out quite powerfully. So while I'm speaking, we could be doing anything. We could be doing a slideshow. We could be worshiping. Just if you get images coming across your mind, write it down. You're going to see how God's going to use you powerfully this evening. Legalistic people will tell you that what you believe is otherwise. And if you agreed with them, then you'd both be wrong. Prophecy. This is. I want to get through some prophetic kinds of groupings that I've kind of seen prophetic taking place. Number one, prophecy declaring the person and character of God. And you see this regularly in the church. You often find someone comes up to the ministry mic and they're declaring the person and the character of God, and they're getting their main inspiration from the Word of God. You saw Tracy this evening reading out from the Word of God and declaring prophetically the character of God and what God is wanting to do in amidst the corporate environment and the individual person. Okay? Like God wants to favor you at your workplace. Yes, He does. How do you know that? Seen it in His Word. God wants to love you. How do you know that? Yes, you know that because of in His Word, He says. And you see often is that He wants to bring increase. He wants you to be the head, not the tail. He wants, and all we're doing is we're declaring prophetically what we already know. But as we hear it again, our spirit rises up and says, yes and amen. And we're establishing something through agreement. Some people get visions. Now, vision, I've only had two visions in my life. But I've actually seen something happening right in front of my eyes. And I knew that this was the time. Number one, I'd seen, I'm not going to go into the second one, but I had seen something happen up on the screen here. And it was overriding the image that was already up on the screen, right over here. And I knew exactly who the word was for. And the vision side of stuff, some people get more visions than others. Depends how much mountain cabbage they're smoking, right? Hey, man, good vision. You're laughing because it's you, eh? Yeah. But I don't get that many visions. Some people really get visions. For me, I experience my visions more of like when I close my eyes. And just sort of images seem to appear. And people might say, oh, that might be your imagination. And I want to say this. Don't be afraid of your imagination. Like if I say, all of you, close your eyes right now, if you feel comfortable with this. I want to just leave it open. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes right now. And I'd like you to not think of a car. All right, now I'm going to ask, how many people saw a really small car? A sports car? Or a red car? How many people saw a blue car? A truck, like a SUV kind of thing? Hey? Everyone saw different things. So if it is your imagination, that's okay. That God, where did your imagination come from? You got that from God. So don't take what God has initially put inside of you and dismiss it and say, that's not of me. I want something until my hand starts shaking, then I know that I can deliver this word. God will use everything. And I'm going to get to this just now. The Bible says that we know in part and we discern in part. Kind of like we're interacting with the Holy Spirit as He kind of brings certain images across or impressions across. We're interacting with Him on how we see that. Now, why some people got different colors, different sizes, different shapes, different whatever else cars, that, you know, the car is synonymous for ministry. So right now, if you said, I didn't get a kind of car, if God puts a certain person in this room on your heart, you could go straight away to them and describe this car to them, and the Holy Spirit will be able to unlock something about the ministry that God has called them to just by describing the car that you've seen. Sounds weird? It's not that heavy. It's not that intense as people perceive prophetic to be. You might see colors or shapes or certain things moving across. This evening I was just sitting down and I saw two plates busy moving across one another. You know, and for some people it might mean, well, is there skating involved or a sliding or moving of goalposts? Or maybe it might mean for someone else that no, I see this, you know, those guys that do those tricks, or where's this coin under? Which one? And so different images come across to different people. And the person that's bringing the prophetic word, sometimes you say stuff and you go, where'd that come from? I wasn't even trying to get there and I just landed up there and this thing just kind of popped out. And that's just the Holy Spirit speaking through you, because your heart is ready to kind of say, Lord, I want to bless this person. I want to encourage this person. I want to speak life into this person. So as I take what you've given me, that little bit, you bring increase to that as I deliver it. I'm all over my notes here. I hope that's okay. Right, next one is impressions. Again, if you can just turn on your imagination station. During the week, it's a hot, sunny day. The shopping centers are full. Kids are all over the show. You're driving down to the beach and you hear a Christmas beetle. What does that emotion remind you of? What do you get an impression of? Christmas, school holidays. Now for me, I love that time of year because everyone seems so happy. There's none of the nonsense that goes on. It's like everyone's out to have fun and enjoy one another. But that might be, like for me, I might just hear a Christmas beetle and I'm already there. That's the impression. That's the emotion. That's where I've come from. I might see a shopping center full of people and I'm thinking, it's holiday time. I might get that hot sunny day where I've got my arm out the window and I've got my surfboard in the car and I can feel the sun beating down on my arm and I'm thinking, oh, that water's going to be so warm. Straight away, I'm thinking Christmas. And it's like God takes your experiences that you've gone through and he might give you something that just tags a little emotion on your heart. And then he'll lead you into delivering that same emotion, that same heartfelt thing into the prophetic word that he's giving you. So don't discount impressions and emotions that you're kind of going through. When you hear something, you might see something, it might tweak something. God knows what you've been through. He was there when you were going through it. Why do you think he would give you that specific thing? Don't brush it off. Don't brush off emotions and impressions. The next one is dreams. And you can declare your dreams as a prophetic word because it's a revelation that God has given it to you. Just because you had it when you were in an unconscious state doesn't mean that you shouldn't share it. I usually say to people that if you can remember vividly what your dream was, it's pretty much from God. I had a dream. I had a dream when I was young, so vivid. I was 16 years old. I wasn't even a believer. And I was doing warfare with Satan. I woke up sweating that night. I can still kind of describe to you exactly what the leaves are on the hedge that we were fighting in. And I can tell you this, the kind of shields that God was manifesting in my hands and the weapons that he was putting in my hands as we were just battling on and on and on. I didn't know what was going on. I just woke up in a huge sweat. So if you can remember details in your dreams, first thing you do in the morning, go write it down. Guarantee you it's either God declaring a prophetic word to you, or he's going to declare the prophetic word through you. It might be for someone else. Dreams also need interpretation. And if you're kind of feeling it's for yourself and you're battling to understand and interpret it, come and chat to one of the leaders in the church, some people that you identify that can help you with interpreting it. It would really go a long way into you getting a grasp of it. Now, word of knowledge and word of wisdom, I find they work hand in glove. You'll see the scriptures. I'm not going to go into the scriptures. Says this is a word of knowledge. This is because I'm taking it that most people here have already read that at least once in their Christian walk. They kind of work hand in glove. Like for example, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom isn't putting it into a fruit salad. Did you get that? That's the difference between word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is like, okay, I know what this is, but I'm not going to do it like that. Okay, God might give you a prophetic word of someone who's stealing from their boss at work. And it would be contrary to God's nature of grace to kind of stand up in the middle of their workplace and declare it boldly. Thus saith the Lord, you thieving individual. Put back seven times what thee has stolen. Yes, the God's wrath fall upon you and smite you. No. God has given you a word of knowledge. You need to be asking for a word of wisdom through his grace to be able to then go and apply it. So the person that's sitting there knows you've just been given a super clear picture from God because he knows, only he knows what I've been doing in the till. But because God has shown me grace, they will respond to his grace. I know of a story where this one guy was flying the prophetic, went to a church, and he took the one assistant pastor and he pulled him one side and he pulled the lead elder together and he spoke about this guy, how he was just loving the lead elder and just covering for him. And this assistant pastor was broken into tears. And so he almost thought, wow, such a prophetically accurate word. And the guy came back to the prophet office and said, thank you so much for that word. It's so, so accurate. And the guy said, well, what God did show me is that you've been backstabbing this man. And you've been belittling him behind his back and taking him out at the ankles and doing all these things. But I felt God say to me to speak what his hopes are and plans are for the future for the two of you in your relationship. And see, that's taking a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, and they work hand in glove as to how you apply that prophetic word that God is giving you. So how do these unlock faith. A couple of weeks ago, people were doing a prophetic thing, and Jamie, people were coming up and they were declaring. Remember what I said that we had up front? Is that a lot of people were flying under this. It is declaring the person and character of God. And people were just coming and doing that and doing that. And I felt a very specific word of knowledge for two people. And as I did that, you could just tell the temperature changed. Just boom. As I spoke to the one guy at the back, I just had a word of knowledge about someone with their they needed to go for surgery, and they were in hospital. And before I got two sentences down, he was a mess, just an absolute boiling mess. And you know what happened? I could really feel it. Just faith in the whole room just went, phew, God's here. God's here. So when I said, shall we pray for this person in hospital? There wasn't a question of, well, I don't know so much. Everyone was like, yeah, God can do this. Because we have seen that God is here. This isn't something that is made up. This isn't something that is, you know, being orchestrated, that Jimmy tried to organize this thing. It really was, yes, we can. And when we prayed, you could tell there was faith to move mountains. I still haven't seen him since. I think it was the first time that he came here. That day was the first day that he came here. So I'm dying to find out how his relative was that was in hospital. But if you give a prophetic word, if you're giving a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, giving a dream, you can tell faith just kind of rises up, because people that aren't a believer will recognize God alone knows the situation. If you are a believer, you know, God, you've heard my prayer, and that you want to answer these concerns that I have in my heart. That's all under, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's all under revelation. Interpretation, the Bible says, I want to go quite quickly through this, that we know in part, we prophesy in part. That's 1 Corinthians 13:9. And some people have said, no, don't look at the circumstance. If you see the person's crying, close your eyes. Avert your eyes and just prophesy what God is doing. And don't read what's going on there. Now, I've had some other people say, no, you know what? I found the Holy Spirit's not too worried about what's going on around you. Okay? If people are crying and you're reading what's going on, and we're knowing in part, we've heard an image, we're trying to, through the Holy Spirit's promptings and movings, we're trying to deliver this, but it's bringing life. So don't kind of weigh yourself up, because as soon as you start weighing yourself up, well, have I done something wrong? It's so easy for the enemy just to come and say, see, you mucked up. How can you carry on bringing a prophetic word here? And you feel like you disqualified yourself. So rather don't entertain any things. Just go, I'm going to have fun tonight. I want to bring the prophetic word tonight and deliver it. And if I mess up, God's grace is there. And the Bible says we should weigh our prophetic words. So if you get a prophetic word that this person's now going to be your spouse, put it on the shelf. Say, yeah, I'll think about it. They're quite nice and I'll think about it often. But just put it up on the shelf, you know. Don't throw your 10 cents in though, because you if you're going to throw in your 10 cents, rather let the people know up front by saying, thus saith the Lord and Jimmy Duguid. And just get what God's given you, interact with how you're delivering it, how you're interpreting it, and then leave it at that. You know, if you don't want to, I know some guys that have like really got into the prophetic thing and they can see the limelight, the lights are shining, and they go, yeah! And you can just see, you can just feel the atmosphere just deflate. I'm going to skip a couple of things here. You know, just the way I was praying for more of God's presence, the rain came harder. I've been in time here where as people have been prophesying, there's been a flipping locomotive train come screaming past the outside here, boop, boop. And it was as someone was prophesying. And everyone just burst out laughing, because how many people have seen a train come past here? What are the odds of that? And as this person's delivering this prophetic word. So if you find, I've had times where I've been prophesying here and literally as there's been nothing, and as I've been speaking out the word of God, there's been lightning. Boom, boom, just really close by. You know? And that's just God confirming what he wants to confirm. So look at your surrounding environment. See if anything's just changed. Like this evening. As you just pray, hey Lord, I can hear the rain just come down harder. Then our faith should be going, yes and amen. Yes and amen to that, those situations. Next one I have is what I call an interpretation, is key in the door. We were prophesying on at Seoul this weekend, and I just said, has someone here got a parrot? And that was it. No one had a parrot. So someone came to me often and said, well, what would you have said if I said I had a parrot? I said, I don't know. sometimes I just get one little image of the picture. It's like a key in the door. And so really what God, it's not so much about, give me a picture. Give me a picture. That key in the door was really, give me a person. Give me a person. And sometimes you get a burden for somebody before you've even got the picture. And so you could be looking around this whole hall and the Holy Spirit will just say, you. That's the key in the door. It's kind of like, Lord, give me the person, not give me the picture. And the Bible says that, you know, that if we don't have love, we're just a resounding gong. And so really what our starting point is, I don't have a picture. I don't have a picture. That's fine. Find a person. Because as that person, if there was a person who said, yeah, I got a budgie, I've got a parrot, I've got some kind of feathered friend, I would have said, great, and stepped into that and said, whatever would come next. Amen. Does that say it? That's okay? You guys are looking a little bit... Okay, I'll carry on. Next thing is to look around your picture. I find it's almost like a zoom in, zoom out of your camera. Sometimes I'll get a prophetic picture and I'll just say, Lord, what else is in this thing? And I'll kind of like go out of this, and then I'll just see more and more and more. Or sometimes I'll get a prophetic picture and I'll say, Lord, what else is in here? And it kind of, he'll take me deeper and he'll take me closer into it. But look at the way this is going here. Look at what's this thing. Look at this person's belt. They've got a little thing on their belt here. What is it? You know, and it's the weirdest thing. So I don't have a scripture and verse for it. I've just kind of been telling, as I said before, it's my walk with God and how I've kind of been led prophetically and seeing pictures and dreams. So it's like a zoom in, zoom out. Look around your picture. Pray in and out of the prophetic word too. So often you get a prophetic word, it's not just kind of like say, well, there you go. It's kind of God's giving you an inclination. He's giving you a dream. He's giving you a prophetic word of knowledge. Pray that through. Because as the faith rises, pray for it. You might be finding as you're praying, you might get something else. Your picture will change. It'll be another addition or something else into your picture. That's under interpretation. Application speaks about prophecy in the church. I'm not going to go too much into that. In the local church, 1 Corinthians 14, it speaks about, I'm just going to abbreviate what I've written here, that God wants everyone in the church to prophesy. He really does. He wants us to prophesy because it will edify the body of Christ. He wants us to prophesy because he wants us to lean a little closer to his chest. See, because John knew what was on Jesus' heart. Because he spent a lot of time just reclining on his chest. And for most people, that spins people out to think that John could just be lying on Jesus' chest and hearing every little thing that he was saying just because he enjoyed him and loved him. And so, God wants us all to lean on his chest and enjoy him and to hear what's on his heart. But the Bible does say that let two or three speak and then everyone should weigh it up. So you find the guy that's sitting over here is generally the ministry mic guy if you never knew before. And his job is just so that that's why he's always sitting there. The person might rotate. Is the reason why he's there is just to kind of weigh it up. That's what the scripture says. Let two or three words come and then weigh it up. And let's kind of see what God's saying to us. Give us a little overall heading. Then you might find that they might say, you know what, there's just an anointing on the worship. We're going to hang 10 on that, on the words that might be coming through. Or just tell me the word and I might share it. You know, it's really that. So if you want to know why this guy's on the front here, it's just for convenience sake. Because imagine if tonight's night was Ministry Mike and it was Don that was the guy. No one knew who's in the Ministry Mike. No, I heard Nita was. No, I think maybe Jamie is. Gary, Darren, who? No. So that's why if you come to the front here, you've got a prophetic word. You know what? I've found some of the most amazing times that I move prophetically. And I'm going to take a wild stab here. More than 60 to 70% of those prophetic words have been for specific individuals in the life of the church and not really for a corporate prophetic declaration. So if there's a word of knowledge that's come, I'd say definitely. If God hasn't highlighted anyone to you yet and you've got a word of knowledge about a pain in someone's elbow. Does anyone here have a pain in their elbow? It's weird that I kind of stopped on that. Like you get cold, like you at night, you get cold, almost like arthritis kind of things. No one? Cool. See, it's okay. It's a key in the door. God's not looking for anything other than the person. So, the ministry mic person will be able to weigh up those two or three words and kind of say, okay, yes, no. Don't get offended if they say, you know what? It's not for you. You go back to your seat going, yes! Yes, yes, yes. Lord, that means there's someone here in these seats here that I can give this word to prophetically, that I can encourage them and build faith in them. Don't walk away and go, I thought this church loved me. My first time I went up there, they rejected me. Don't. The fact that you got, the person said not now, could mean it could be next week, could be next meeting, could be another person. You should be walking back to your chair going, brilliant. Who next, God? Who next, Holy Spirit? Show me. I want to take their mind and blow, because what you've given me is going to bless and build them up. Next one, timing. I keep saying I'm not going to. That also ties in with the ministry market I was speaking about, the timing of when you deliver, who you deliver to, how you deliver it. Okay. Those people that put up their hands if you maybe you didn't even put your hand up, but as I've been speaking in worship, maybe you've just been reminded of a dream or a picture that you had that you never really kind of developed. Is anyone here that's been feeling maybe they've got those pictures in their mind that they're wanting to deliver? I'm wanting to just make some space for the Holy Spirit to confirm what He does best. Anyone here? And if you feel an anointing on you right now too, so maybe you haven't heard a certain thing, but we're going to ask for a key in the door for you, that you're going to just kind of speak out and just kind of just say whatever comes next. Anyone here? Come up to the front. No, Don, you can come. I just feel like there's going to be a row of people here. So don't feel like you've got to wait for some spiritual thing that you need to feel. I also find that when you step out in authority saying, Lord, you're living in me. Lord, you've anointed me. Lord, you have called me. And that's all that you need. And you kind of just come up and say, right. Don't feel like if you're not part of this church, you've disqualified yourself. If you feel any one of those things, you've got pictures in your mind, you've feel anointing on you right now. I feel like there's one or two people that actually don't actually come to this church that are wanting to step out in this gifting. You guys are intimidated, eh? It's such an easy thing to prophesy. It's such an easy thing to declare the goodness of God. Even if you come up here and declare the character of God and the person of God and the love of God, that is going to build people up to the point of where you cannot believe how it'll bless you. And I also want to go as far as saying this. I believe that there's some people here that are going to be speaking out, words of knowledge with words of wisdom, and you're going to sit down here and you're going to feel the air just go out of this room. And it's going to bless you, because you're going to see this is God at work. Now, I hope the rest of you guys are all fired up, all expectant to hear, because I really feel like there's some direct words. The Bible says don't despise the words, but weigh up the words. So when you get a prophetic word, don't feel like I've now got to change my jobs, move to Antarctica, give up the kids for adoption, put the dog down. Don't. Weigh it up. Okay. We're all human, just like most of you. So we're going to start off with Jamie.
I had a specific word for Riley. Sheesh, how prophetic are you? I just sensed that there's actually a new season that you're entering into. There's a shift happening. And I see you looking at that shift. And you're saying, how on earth am I going to enter this new time in my life? How am I going to make it through? And God's saying, I'm going to give you the grace that you need. My grace, the scripture, the word that I specifically felt is, my grace is sufficient for you. And so look at this and embrace it. Embrace grace in this time. Embrace this seasonal shift, because it's going to be a real grounding time for you. A really strong foundational time in the rest of your life in what God wants to do. So thank you, Lord, for Riley, Lord. Just give her the grace to make it through there. Thank you, Lord, that you've confirmed in her life tonight. I just thank you for the anointing over her life. There's a call and a purpose over her life, Lord, and I just pray more of your fire in her life, more of your presence, just to lead her in everything she does, God. Thank you, Father. You just bless her. You give her the grace to make it through this season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you see how Jamie was praying through that prophetic word? Identify the person, gave it like a shifting. And are you responding to it? Do you identify with that? Yeah. No, good. Johnny, can I ask you just to be playing? I just want us to kind of just enjoy God at this time. It's a time where the Holy Spirit kind of just moves on us at the same time as we're enjoying Him. Things start to happen. So I'm expectant that the surroundings that we're in is going to change, as well as it takes place, as we get to enjoy Him and just get intimate with Him, that He'd get to speak some of these words. Anyone got anything specific?
A little bit nervous, but I was standing during praise and worship, and it was amazing. Like, I was just standing there worshiping God, and I just saw this lion, this beautiful big lion, come and walk up beside me, and I could just see, like, the shine in its coat. It was like, oh, I was like, wow, God. Like, I just really felt that in the spiritual realm, and he was walking around, like, majestically amongst his people. And I felt God saying, oh, like, his creatures are here, and the heavenly dwellings are here. But I was like, but why a lion, God? Why a lion? And I saw him roar in the supernatural realm, like, over us, and like, what God was doing. And then God, just now, because I didn't really want to share it, but just now while I was sitting there, I just felt that he just extended this word, and he just said, Jen, come and share this for a person who feels very alone and very dejected and rejected by life and people, and I just saw you crying out to God and just feeling like no one loves you and insecure in who you are. And I just felt God, wow, I just saw him roaring over your life. And it's not a sense of how much you love God, it's just he is so possessive over you. Like, I just pray right now that he give you a revelation through the Holy Spirit of just how much he doesn't just love you, but he's possessive about you, and he's jealous to have, like, everything about you. And I pray that you just, yeah, just receive that.
during the service, I had a picture in my mind, and it was building up and building up and building up. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? And then I saw the picture up on the screen here of the sea and the rocks. And that confirmed I had to speak. And then, of course, I let Jimmy talk, and it was at the right timing. And I didn't think I'd be up here. But I was thinking about the past when I used to surf. And I think a lot of you guys would actually identify with that. I used to jump off the pier, you won't believe, when I was younger as well. And I always remember the timing, and you guys would know, you know, as human beings, we've got to get the timing right. And I thought of this time when I was to jump off the pier, wait for the back line to drop, and the shell would come up, dive in, and I always had the board there, as you guys would know, as my rock and my anchor, because when I hit the board is always there. When I was younger, we had no leashes, so we had to make sure we actually got to the board, you know, otherwise you lose out. But the board was always my sort of safety factor. The timing was right. Then I thought of the Bible. I thought of Peter when the Lord is walking on the water. And I thought, you know, Peter wasn't wearing pair of baggies or speedos. He didn't go tippy-toe into the water. He must have had a long skirt on, and the water was rough. And he didn't get the timing right. He just jumped in. It was the waves were big. He just heard the Lord's word, and he jumped in. And it wasn't like a little tippy-toe. He must have climbed overboard, because I think the sides of the boards must have been pretty high. I don't know, sort of historically, but I think that must have been pretty hard. So we will have a picture of Peter going tippy-toe over the boat, and here I come. But I think he really just jumped in. And I thought, sort of prophetically for us as human beings, don't wait for the sea to be calm and the timing to be right to hear from God. Just jump in. If God can call you in the midst of a storm, and it's almost like in my life at the moment, I'm in a bit of a storm at the moment. My wife is in a storm with me, and it's like I've got to hear God. And sometimes we don't hear God in the storm, but God is actually calling us in the midst of the storm. He's got something to say to us, something for us to do. And Peter heard the Lord in the storm. There was lightning and thunder. I could imagine wind blowing. The sea was like 30 meters high, and Peter just jumped out. You know, there was no timing involved. He just heard the Lord's voice. And I just felt tonight for all of us, in the storm, don't close your eyes and ears to God. In the storm, listen, God's trying to talk to us. He's trying to tell us something. I don't have a specific person that I can point out, but I just know that all of us are going through a storm at the moment. And just listen to God. He's saying something for us. He's guiding us. And when he called Peter, he had a plan for it. He didn't want Peter to, he wasn't going to test his faith, but Peter sank because he took his eyes off the Lord. And the Lord is saying to us, don't take your eyes off me. Even though you're in the storm, keep your eyes on me, because I will really reach out, and I've got a plan and a purpose for you.
Just also want to encourage you. These people up here, we're not going to finish up with them and then that's it, you know. But I really felt that some people are going to find, you get what they call sympathetic pains. So it's like a word of knowledge that you're identifying with a pain or something that's wrong in a health-wise for somebody else. So if you find, my neck's acting a little funny, I've got a sore back or knee or something like that. Could you just, is someone here that's just, this, you've been fine up until this evening? It's not like it's something that you've actually got a, you need to go for a knee surgery. You go, yo, my knee's aching. This must be for someone else. But it just like this evening, you just felt like, hey, I've got all the creak kind of things aren't working so like I just felt like that's also a prophetic declaration as a word of knowledge for someone else that's maybe suffering with some of those things. Anyone here? Come. Sorry, I won't be long. I won't be too long. I really felt just, you know, just into, just kind of like leading it a bit.
Hi. I don't know if you know, my husband is not here tonight. I have been going to gym and exercising and getting fit and healthy. He's not doing so well, but, you know, he's on fire for God. Okay. And so this last week, I don't know why, but my knee's been really sore. Not, maybe I just thought, okay, well, I twisted it in gym or something. But now that I was wondering, why is this happening? You know, I'm pretty fit and healthy and stuff. And so Jim's just confirmed that, yeah, it's symptomatic.
Is there someone here that's got a, you've got a knee problem that's consistently bad? Might be one, might be two people. Anyone else? It's not an auction. I just really, you know, some prophetic word might come and there might be three people say yes. And what happens is literally there's a call going out from God saying, this is what I want to do, and you can pull that promise of God into your situation. So as you get some more prophetic words coming through, and you might be one person, oh, that's, it must be for them, because you know, they look like they need it more than me. You know, it's not like that. You can literally go and say, I want that too, Lord. That's when we come into agreement, and we pull that heaven, the something of heaven into our situation. Is there one? Okay. Cool. Do you want to pray for it? God's obviously given you that Iona.
Iona, I just, please come to God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you see all our troubles.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that, as Don said, we need to listen out for you in the storm of whatever's going around us, and not to take our eyes off you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, it's really tough sometimes. And Lord, we just pray that you give us the strength, and especially the peace, Lord Jesus. I just felt your peace come upon all of us now. Yeah. That whatever's happening around us, Lord, that we'll keep your eyes on it. Lord, and a special hand on Iona tonight, Lord Jesus. And for the rest of the week, that your peace will come upon her. And especially, Holy Spirit, just to keep her filled, to keep her eyes focused on you, Lord Jesus. And especially, Lord, for a miraculous healing, Lord. I pray that now, and I claim that in your name, by your blood, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well done. Well done, well done.
I just saw this bright, bright light bulb shining. And then I saw this dimmer light bulb. And as I saw this light bulb being dimmer than the first bright light bulb, this light bulb just got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And eventually it was just very, very slightly burning. It was almost about to go out. And it had a lot of dust all over it and even some mold around it. And this light bulb had actually just been put on the shelf and had actually been disconnected from the socket that, you know, when you put a light bulb in, I don't know what that thing's called, the socket, eh? I'm right, okay. Basically, I just felt when I saw this picture that God was saying that there's somebody here that there was a time in your life where you were shining bright in the kingdom, you were shining bright with a passion for Jesus, and something happened along the way. And actually, I think it was just a couple of events that happened along the way that you actually plugged yourself out of the socket, you plugged yourself out of God, and you sort of just pulled away. And as you've done that, you've your light has become dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and you've sort of put yourself on the shelf and you've said, that's not for me for now, and I'm just going to keep out of this stuff for now, the things of God, and I'm just going to coast along the side, and you know, I'm not really going to partake too much in that. And I just felt God was just saying, it's time to get plugged back in. Come, plug back into me. And you are going to shine brighter than you ever have before. And I felt like God was just saying, it's a new day for you. And God is going to bring bring refreshing to you, who's going to restore you as you plug yourself back into the place of being in Him again. Because when I first saw that bright, bright light shining, I just saw how God was saying that you are going to shine brighter than you ever did before. And your passion for Him is going to be so great. You're going to know the Father's love for you and in the fullness of what it is for you. And you have never really come to that place in Him, but He's going to bring you to that place. He's bringing you to a place of refreshing, but you've got to get plugged back into a place where you say, okay, God, I choose to plug myself back into you. I choose to not be on that shelf anymore. And just as you do that, God's going to just bring more and more refreshing, and He's going to restore you, and He's going to take off the dust and the mold, and He's going to begin to use you, because you're going to shine brightly in the kingdom of God. And many people are going to look at you and they're going to see this bright light shining and be drawn to you. God has given you a gift where there's this thing in you that He's put in you that draws people to the kingdom. And you just need to get plugged back into that place again. He says it's a new day, and He says, I actually had a prophetic song in my heart, actually in worship, and I didn't know what it was for, and I didn't come to the front and to release it, but I knew when I got this word that this song was actually for you. And the song says, the words are, it is a new day, I'm going to show you the way, just take my hand and look into my face. And just look into the Father's face. Plug yourself back into a place of being in His presence again. And you're going to see. You're going to become a bright, shining light for God and His kingdom. And I do believe it's for a young person.
Let's close our eyes. It's a call from God out to someone here this evening. So the Word of God says that if the plugging back in here, what she's talking about, is really just saying, Lord, I choose to receive Your love back into my heart. And I'm not going to reject You. I'm not going to run away from You. I choose to respond to You. So would you just pray for that person?
Another thing I also meant to mention is those things that happen that cause you to unplug yourself and draw away, you need to release those things. So, Father God, I just thank You, Lord, for this person, Lord, that pulled himself out of that place of knowing You, Father, because of hurts, Father God, because of offense, Father God. I thank You, Lord, that You are bringing restoration, that this is a new day, Father God. I thank You, Father God, that You are bringing life right this very, very moment. We speak life over this person right now, Father. And I thank You, Lord, that You bring healing, Father God. Just heal those wounds, Father God. I thank You, Father God, that You've removed the wave of offense, Father God. And I thank You, Lord, that this is a new season, Father God. I thank You, Father, that this person is going to begin to feel Your presence and Your love right now. Father, I thank You that You will speak to them in dreams and visions, even in the night, Father God, as they sleep, Father. I thank You for a move of Your Spirit over their lives, Father God, like we've never had before. Father God, I thank You that You're going to drench them in Your presence, Father God. I thank You, Lord, that they're going to feel Your love showering over them, Father God. Lord, that they're going to be brought to a place, Father God, that they're going to be sobbing in Your presence, Father. Lord God, I thank You, Lord, that we come against a hard of heart tonight, Father God. I thank You that You're softening hearts tonight, Father God. Lord God, that You would give this person a new heart, Father, a heart that is soft and pliable in Your presence. Yes, the Father says that as you get into my presence, my child, as you get into my presence, you're going to see showers of rain, my love pouring down on you. You're going to experience my love in such a powerful way. I'm softening your heart right now, says the Father. I'm softening your heart right now, says the Father. Just come back. Take my hand, look into my face. Thank You, Father. Thank You for restoration tonight, Father. Thank You for healing, Father. Thank You. Thank You for rivers and waves of Your love tonight, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Oops.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. I just had a picture of Dean. And he was in his quiet time. He was in his this intimacy with God. He was having this intimate time. And whatever picture came to mind, whatever people, a person that came to mind, and as he was having this intimacy, the angels were just being dispatched, you know, to those places, ministering angels. And I see that as you continue to have this intimacy with him, he's going to send out these angels, and they're going to minister to the people. As you bring the picture comes to mind, whoever you are coming to mind, and they're just going through, and the angels are just doing the work for you.
I just got three things. One is the most amazing thing. The lady before, Helen, I was actually going to come and say that someone here is getting a song. And it's going on and on and on. You may not understand it, but you need to keep on going. And she actually came up with it. When I was on the floor in the back, it just carried on the screen, just going on and on, but I didn't know the words. So that was the song. The second one is Graham. Sitting behind you, and there's a glitter on your right side of your shoulder. And I believe God is saying that if you open your heart, He's got some amazing things to do in your life. He's got bigger things than what you think of yourself. Okay. The last thing I want to say is that when it comes to prophecy, hope you don't mind me sharing this, don't try too hard. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine at work, his son crashed his wife's car, and he went looking for a car. I came on Monday and I said to him, have you found a car? And he says, I've looked at this Honda and I went around it and I prayed around it. And I said to him, why don't you bring a quotation? We'll pray about it. And he says, no, I feel the peace of God. I went to my office and I actually was praying for something about myself and my family. And I sat down on my chair. Eyes were not even closed. And I see silver and I see blue. So I said to God, how can I go back and say silver and blue? He's only saw one, you know, he's seen one car. So I look again and it was a silver Jazz. So I go back to him and I say to him, Lord, you've spoken to me for more than half an hour, but you've never told me the color of the car. By the way, is it silver? And he goes, yeah, it's silver. I said to him, I see this blue, but I don't know what it means. And the next day I said to him, this blue is still troubling me. And he says, you know what? The silver car was parked next to a blue car. And when I was giving him this word, his wife received an email on Hebrews 11 that faith is a substance of things hoped for. And that's how God moves. If you're in His presence, things flow freely. Don't strive. If you're sitting here, don't strive to see something that you want to see. God gives it to you freely.
Guys, you're right. We do two more. I know we've gone a bit over time. Are you right? I mean, this might be for you. See.
I had a picture when Jim first talked about, you know, who wants to give a word and stuff, and the picture that came to mind was of this hammer bashing, and so I've been mulling over what do you want to do with that word, Lord, and the sense I had was, for some people there's a sense of life being bashed by this hammer, and almost a sense that it's God doing this bashing, that God's trying to shape me, God's trying to put me into the right mold, and that doesn't gel with me, and I had a real sense God saying no. I've actually come to take that hammer and smash your misconceptions, your preconceived ideas of who I am and how I respect you and how I love you and how I want you to be. He's coming to smash mindsets, coming to smash things that entangle us, things that deceive us. And so if that's for you, I don't have a specific person, but if that's for you, if you've perceived the stuff that's happening in your life as God shaping you, as God trying to mold you, as God trying to sort you out, it's a lie. And that hammer, God wants to come and He wants to smash that untruth. And allow the truth of His love just to come and minister to you, come and wash over you, come and lift you up and breathe life into you. So I just want to pray into that. Lord, I thank you that whoever receives that word, Lord, that you would just smash the untruths in their minds, Lord. As James preached this morning, that you'd help them with the renewing of their mind. That the truth of the fact that you completely love us, you completely accept us as we are, Lord, that would permeate, Lord, that would penetrate their hearts and their minds, Lord. And just those untruths would be smashed away and they could just rest in you, Lord, because you call us to rest in you. And so thank you, Holy Spirit, you minister to these people right now, to whoever can relate to that word. Let your love flow, Lord. Let your love transform them. In Jesus' precious name.
I've got two words. One for this lady here with the black t-shirt. You've been striving and running to and fro and your mind's going here and there and everywhere, and God's just saying to me, just put your head, like Jimmy said, on Jesus' shoulder and just rest and hear His heartbeat, because He's got the most amazing thing coming for you. It's so amazing and it's so beautiful, and He just loves you so, so much. And He said, stop running with your mind there, what can I do, going into this one, that one, trying to get a word. He says, just rest in me, just listen to my word, open my word and just read it, and it'll just flow through you, and you will just be in such peace that you're going to know that it's going to be right for you. is you're just going to know it. And, you know, he just loves you so much. You're just sitting on his lap now, and just put your head on his shoulder and just say, Lord, thank you for your love. Just thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy over my life. Just thank you what you've got to offer me, because it's so good, girl. It is so beautiful. Okay? The other thing that God showed me on Saturday afternoon and today is that a lot of people have just got the light, a gold light shining out of them. Like, of course, it's a gold light, and it's just shining. And those people, they can feel the power of Jesus Christ in them. They've got a ministry, and you've got to now step forward, and you've got to ask God, what is my ministry? Because you've got to take that step. You can't just sit back in the back seat and expect everybody else to do the work. A light of God's power is shining out of you, and that is going to be a ministry for you. And God's telling you in the next 2 weeks what that ministry is. And you've got to listen to His word. You've got to be open to it. It's just so powerful that people walk past that light, they are going to be changed by the power of God inside you.
Lady in the black shirt, what is your name?
Chanel.
Okay. Have you been here before? Yes, you have. Yeah, I saw you the first time you were here, and you highlighted to me, and then I saw you again tonight. I just felt like you've got a hard heart, a really hard heart. Because people come against you, and they've come against your home. And I feel they've even come against your parents in a way. And they've just also come against specifically your character, and they've broken you down. They've just chipped you down. And I just felt God has put like this huge white blanket of covering over you. Where I'm telling you now, there's a new season coming your way. There's a great increase coming your way as well. You've got a little daughter. Is she very hyperactive? Okay, and does she talk? Is she talking yet? Okay. When she was running around just now, I just felt God say that God has destined for her a great call upon her life. And she's going to really start impacting people from a young age, even when she goes to primary school. And then she's going to talk a lot. She's going to be off the hook. But she's going to talk the gospel, man. She's going to be anointed for that gospel. And that you are qualified to be a good mom. You are qualified to lead your child into great inheritance. You have that gifting to be that. And I just felt God is going to really edify you, and He's really going to lift you up and put you on a firm, strong foundation. And that God's going to soften your heart. And I see you love the poor. I just see you do ministry with poor people. You're going to just love them. The love of God is going to ooze out of you. And there's going to be a great change in 2 months' time. I actually just see you coming to testify. It's a great change coming in 2 months' time in your household. And also, I don't know. I've just got this. Anyone here praying for a house? By any chance? No? Okay. Hey, hello? There we go. I kind of thought God is to just say, just start shopping. Because if you don't start, He's going to start for you. But I just have the faith for you, the next 3 to 4 months, you're going to have a good house, man. It's going to be good. Yeah.
Awesome. I just feel to encourage us, but in a way challenge us, and challenge each and every one of us here tonight in light of what we've just heard this evening. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that if everyone is prophesying, will not an unbeliever come into your meeting and know that surely God is among you? And we had a moment at youth a couple of months ago where one of our girls saw a guy who had never been to youth before, and she even got his name. That's how direct the word was. She went to him, she prophesied over him, and he was amazed. He's since been really changed by Jesus, and God's done such a work in his life. She also had another word for another girl who was at youth for the first time, and she got impacted and touched by Jesus. And none of it was through the microphone. She didn't come and give a word at the front. She went to them individually. And I just feel, in closing, before Jimmy wraps it up, to challenge each and every one of us. I challenge you, within the next couple of months, ask God for a word for someone in this house. And you know what? It takes boldness. It's not easy, but His grace is sufficient for you. Just go to someone and say, you know what, I feel to say this to you. I don't know what it means, but hey, I'm going to leave it with you. And I tell you what, when we start stirring up a prophetic culture in this place, we're going to see amazing things. Amen. Thanks, Jim.
Let's stand together. Lord, we received You into our hearts, and as we receive a fresh baptism every time we get into your presence, Lord, you're changing us from glory to glory. And Lord, you've given us the ability to bring light into a dark world. And you've given us the ability to breathe life where there is death. You've given us the ability to speak your word of hope and truth and love and life. So Lord, as Jamie's prayed, Lord, for the next couple of months, I pray for this week, Lord, that as we get into our work environment, Lord, that you'd give us dreams, you'd give us visions, you'd give us pictures, you'd give us highlight individuals, Lord, before we even get to speak a single word that's on our lips, Lord, you would break our hearts for people, Lord, that you'd let us see what they're going through, Lord, and let us feel, Lord, what is on your heart for that person. Lord, I pray for, as Jamie prayed, Lord, to cry of our hearts to see more of an outpouring of your Spirit, more of an outpouring of your gifts being used in this place, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the words that have come for healing. Lord, that tonight, Lord, that people's physical bodies will be changed, Lord, because of the transforming work of your Spirit, Lord, in our lives. We give you all the glory, Lord, and all the thanks, praise, and adoration to you. You captured our hearts, Lord. You've captured our minds. Lord, we just want to celebrate you for the rest of this week in Jesus' name. Amen.